Recently, a blog post by John Piper about tithing in the local church caught my attention for two reasons. First, John Piper stated that he would never say, "You must give your tithe to my church." I affirm this in regard to Simple Church, and I appreciate this statement from one of the nation's leaders in the Legacy Church. Indeed, Piper points out in this article that the Bible offers no justification for a mandated 10% tithe to a local congregation. Secondly, his comments about giving to the local church highlighted one of the blessings, if not advantages, of giving in Simple Church. John Piper writes, "When we think about what churches need in order to survive and flourish, I think they need roughly a tenth of what their people have and more. You can feel free to go beyond. As for me, I give almost everything to the church. I feel so utterly indebted here and thankful here that what I give is almost all here. And then there are the little things I do, little things at the door or for pro-life causes. I'm writing little checks here and there all the time, but the substance of my giving is at the local church. I would encourage someone to think through with a pastor what a good basis for giving at the church would be, and then encourage them to lavish everywhere else too. A simple church requires nothing in addition to the giving and sharing of food, home, and time in order to survive and flourish. When I think through what a good basis for giving, the basis is always the same, 0%. In an individual simple church, there usually is no overhead cost. People are free to lavish all their giving everywhere else, as the Lord leads. In fact, I attended a simple church meeting this past Sunday where they had the opportunity to give, but 100% of the gifts collected were going out the door to ministries in the city that serve those in need. Do not misunderstand me. I believe there is good coming from the tithes and offerings made by brothers and sisters in legacy churches. I do not discourage giving to such churches. This simple church planting ministry has been greatly blessed by a legacy church's generosity over the years. However, I do believe that giving to your local church is a stumbling block between many of our neighbors and Jesus. The money local churches need to survive and flourish, as Piper points out, requires a lot of sacrificial giving on the part of the members. This simply does not settle well with many of those around us outside as well as inside the church. Those of us in Simple Church have the unique opportunity to help our friends see a different kind of generosity. Let us make the most of the opportunity and model generosity that lavishes gifts on the kingdom needs around us." This is Gavin Durson, and you're listening to Keep It Simple Podcast. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church. Hey, welcome to Keep It Simple Podcast. I'm Gavin Durson, along here with my partner in crime,
Tom LeCompte.
Tom LeCompte. And we're going to jump right into it today. There's a video going around on Facebook, and I think we may have even talked about it before, but I think it's a worthy video to kind of play today. Francis Chan, as many of you all know, has written a lot of books, Crazy Love being his most popular, and started a mega church many moons ago. And about the time I started doing Simple Church, it was around the same time he left this mega church and has ended up basically doing Simple Church in California. And I think it's really interesting to me because a lot of folks, in fact, I've had a lot of folks recently calling me because they've read something or watched this actual video that's been making its rounds online. And then they do a web search and they find you and I, Tom, or the podcast, or they find SimpleChurchAlliance.com. And they want to learn more about what we're doing. Maybe they're on this side of the country. So I think it seems interesting to me because God seems to be using Francis to say some things to an audience of people that generally are probably not privy to hearing the kinds of things he's saying. So, you know, a lot of folks that maybe are more traditionally minded that love Francis are now hearing him say some things that are challenging them in ways that maybe they haven't been before. So I wanted to just today, we're going to take time. Tom and his magic abilities here on the computer are going to we're going to play the audio for you of this video Francis does. We'll link the video up at Keep It Simple Podcast, and we're going to follow up here. We're going to come back with a few comments. So this is Francis Chan just giving an explanation of what the church is. It's sort of his version of rethinking church, and we're going to roll that for you now.
If someone asked you to describe church,
Just using the Bible, like you're not allowed to use any of your experiences, just use the Bible and explain church to them, what would you say? Okay, well, we've got to start with that. We have to start with God's Word. Otherwise, we're going to start creating these things that we like or we want and go, well, I want this in a church. I want this in a church. And we could spend our whole life getting good at that even. But it would be almost like making a great bowl of spaghetti and then coming out of your life and God going, I ordered steak. I ordered something completely different. So what does the Word of God say about the church? I've been asking people this question, describe church just using the Bible. And four things keep coming up. The number one thing is love. They would say it's a group of people, they're like a family. They're so in love with one another. They care for one another. They meet one another's needs. It's like what's mine is yours. If I hurt, you hurt. It's just this body of people. Second thing that people say from the scriptures is it seems like it was a group of people that just had to get this message out. Like they were on a mission. There are people who do not know about Jesus. So this group assembled to figure out how are we going to get this message out to them. The third thing that they brought up was it seems like they gathered. And when they gathered, they were focused on the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Like communion was a big deal. And they were devoted to praying for one another, fellowshipping with one another, and learning this book. And then the fourth thing that they would bring up is it seems like there was an equipping or a training that took place. Like there were leaders in the church that actually instructed the other people on how to do ministry, equip them for working, equip them for serving the Lord. And everyone has this gift. And so the leaders equip them to do those things. So that's what they're saying is church. And I would agree. When I look at the Bible, I don't know what you see, but I go, man, that's a beautiful picture. That's what I see about the church. And so then we have to ask ourselves, are we experiencing that? Am I experiencing that in my church? And I don't know what you go through or where you attend church, but in my experiences, in the churches I've observed and been a part of, it's rare when I see family. It's rare when I see that love that we were talking about, where you walk in to a gathering and go, I cannot believe how much these people love each other. I mean, if an unbeliever walked in, they'd be shocked going, I've never seen this kind of love. And then we can just say, man, that was the Holy Spirit. That's something that God's done in us. But when have you seen that? And then as far as urgency in mission, I don't know if I've ever seen a group of people that just go, okay, we've got to get the word out. We're on this mission. We got to get to all of these people. I mean, is that what you're experiencing in church? Thirdly, with the gatherings, are we really seeing this type of coming together where we're all using our gifts to bless one another, where there's just this fellowship with one another, and there's this prayer for one another, and we're studying the Bible together, and we're putting the body and blood of Jesus Christ, you know, on the forefront and really celebrating that with one another as a family? I was going, gosh, it doesn't seem like there's that type of participation in the church. It feels more like going to the movies rather than going to the gym. You know, it's sit back and let them do it versus, no, I'm gonna give to this and I'm gonna leave feeling great because I put effort into this. And then as far as training, most of the churches I've been a part of, it feels like we're trying to recruit leaders rather than develop them and send them out. And it just seems like, man, how can we get this person? How can we gather all these people here rather than having that family mentality where we go, I'm going to raise my kids for 18 years. And then when they turn 18, I want them to be able to go out there, start their own jobs, eventually start their own families, take care of themselves. Instead, in the church, it's more like, hey, you know, I want my kids to live in my house for the rest of my life. It's like, no, we got to put that pressure on them. We got to train up these leaders, all these sheep that God's given you. The goal is let me raise them to stand on their own two feet and even start their own ministries. And so when we looked at the shortcomings of church experiences that we had, we said, you know, something has to change. It's not optional. And it's not like we have all these answers now. It's just saying we've got to experiment. We've got to just try something different. Maybe there's something in the way that we structure that would enable us to prioritize the things we see in Scripture. This has to be done. It has to change. So we said, okay, let's start a church. Let's start a new church. But let's put aside all those assumptions that we started with last time. Like when we start a church, we usually assume that means we need a preacher, a good preacher, right? How do you start a church without that? We need a building. We need a guy that leads a few songs. We need a youth pastor. We need a children's pastor. You know, we go down this road and go, okay, no, I don't see that in here. What do we need to start with? We need to start with people who are followers of Jesus who say, you know what? We will love one another like a family, and we will focus on this mission of getting the message of Jesus Christ and spreading his love to those who don't know it. And you know what? We are going to gather to train one another up, to build one another up so that we can go out and really obey this word. And so by doing that, we said, okay, let's be careful not to get distracted by these other things. And what do we want to do? What is the form that this church is going to take? And one of the first things we decided was, let's meet in homes. Let's meet in homes because this will enable us to actually know each other, care for each other, and live like a family. Let's meet in house. This will also keep us from getting distracted by salaries, because you can shepherd 10 to 20 people without a salary. You can work a full-time job, and all we're saying is build into 3 or 4 people who will in turn build into 3 or 4 people. And so we're not distracted by that. We're not distracted by a building. You know, we have homes, so let's use those, and let's just focus on loving each other. Success is how much did we practically love each other throughout the week. Second thing we decided was, let's only be together for a year maximum, okay? So 6 months from a year from now, we'll split into 2 churches, and you're going to hate it. You're going to hate when we multiply, because we're going to be so in love with each other, but for the sake of the mission, if we don't just determine we're going to divide and multiply, we're going to want to stay together forever, and we'll become this ingrown church, and we'll just be about each other and not about the mission that God called us to. And so it puts this great pressure of, you know what, I've got to be prepared. We're going to be dividing and multiplying and reaching the rest of the people. Third thing we decided was, let's read through the Bible together. Let's read through the Bible in a year. We'll read the same passages every day. And what this causes is now the focus is on the word itself rather than a messenger. Now when Sunday comes, we've already talked throughout the week about the passages that we studied. And so Sunday, you don't have this dire need for 45 minutes of instruction. Feed me everything I can from the Bible. I've already studied it for myself. I've learned to study, and I've fellowshipped over it. So now we can share what we've learned. And so we can just give a short little teaching and spend the majority of our time on Sundays praying for each other, really expecting results, and celebrating the Lord's Supper together. Let's prioritize. And God wanted us to get together just to remember his son. And we can fellowship and share a meal together. It's that type of gathering. And then the fourth thing that we decided is, okay, let's start training leaders. We have to. Because 6 months, a year from now, we got to have 2 of these. And so let's start raising up leaders. Let's teach theology to the key guys who are going to spread out and lead their own church. Let's prepare them as men of God, as elders, and get them out there. And so it's that type of mindset where we're producing leaders and we're gathering together in this way, and we're learning theology as we're doing ministry. And it's been a great process. Not that we have everything figured out, but it's been an amazing process. And a lot of this sprung up because I was a pastor for 17 years at one church. It was something we started in the home. And man, I tell you, it's one of the greatest experiences of my life. What an amazing season. We saw God do great things. And I was in love with that group of people. And a lot was done, so much fruit. But we also saw that there were limitations. And the larger we got, there was concern about, wow, is this the most effective way to use God's resources? I mean, when there were 20 people and we multiplied to 200. I go, man, that was great to see that type of growth come from those 20 people to 200 or 200 to 2,000. But when we had 4,000 people and we reached maybe, 100 or 200, now we're going, okay, is this the most efficient way? Is there a way to do church that would resemble more like the church in China, where without buildings, without salaries, they were able to multiply in these homes and grow to an estimated over 100 million people? It's like, okay, could that same type of format happen here? And could we even do it in a way that it's more biblical and more love, more mission, more fellowship and the right attraction to the gathering, and a multiplication of leaders? We believe it can happen. And again, I'm not saying, hey, this is the way to do it. I'm just saying this is something we've been pursuing. We've been loving it. And I believe we're going to spend the rest of our lives pursuing this dream.
Yeah, so there you go. What awesome video. And I really appreciate everything he's saying there and the way he's saying it. And again, lot of similarities into why I'm sitting behind this microphone, and you are too, I'm sure, Tom.
He gets it.
He's saying. One thing I love, he says in there, he used the word I've used on this podcast and a lot in my day-to-day conversation. He used the words experiment, and I think that was a word that was spoken into my life when I first got started and realized, hey, it's okay to experiment. And that's what he's doing. He's not a super Christian. He's just a believer like you and me and those of you listening. And you know what? He woke up and said, this doesn't add up. I've got to figure this out. I'm going to experiment and figure out if we can be a part of something more like what we're seeing happening in the New Testament. And, he admitted at the end, and not telling this is just what we're doing. It's not saying we've got it all figured out. And I love that approach. And I think there's a real freedom in that. When we realize, hey, we can do the same thing. We can wake up like Francis Chan did and say, I'm going to start experimenting too. And there's nothing wrong with that. God's not going to be angry. That's what walking by faith is all about. And it might make people look at you a little odd, but, and certainly he's been looked at oddly by a lot of folks, but very, very good. Very, very appreciative of that. Just short little 10-minute teaching there. And, really appreciate what he's saying.
I like it because, here's a guy that he had it. He had it all. He had the megachurch. He had the fame. He had the books. And he saw, he's like a lot of people that are out there. He saw the weaknesses in the system, in the traditional church system, where he spent so much of his energy and time just perpetuating the big church and doing all that. And he said at one point, we're only reaching maybe 100 people. Even though there's thousands involved, we're only reaching 100 people. Whereas if we did this smaller, we can reach more people.
Yeah.
And I appreciate what he said. Churches are supposed to be like parents. We're supposed to be developing our children so that when they're of age, they get out of the house and they go out and they start their own life. And instead, what we got is people living in the basement forever.
Yeah. Yeah,
I appreciate that.
That's really good. It was a good picture about that.
Salary, is a distraction. Boy, I could do a whole podcast on salary and preparing, going through seminary, and I'm all for seminary, but I think seminary is for the wrong. It's not for the right reason. We're using it to prepare people to have a job where, we're not seeing it as a way to develop ourselves so that we can be good ministers to one another, whether we get paid or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, I liked what he said, learn theology as we do ministry. We're not going to have everything together. And this is from a guy who I respect his theology. I think he's solid. I think he's right there. I've read his books. I've listened to him. His theology is right there. But he's saying, we're going to learn our theology as we go. You know, you don't have to have it all together.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I loved it. You know, probably if I took, you know, one thing I might differ slightly with him a bit about is, you know, we've talked about this before and I've certainly written about it, but I think one way to grow or multiply a house church is to split it in two. But I also
and that's
think
painful. He said that was painful.
I think there's other ways. I mean, I think you can, if you could, you know, you, certainly that's one way of doing it. But I think maybe even a better way sometimes is if we can figure out how to send people out to start new communities and either in pairs or to return maybe to the original house church, or maybe they would go and stay with that other house church. But I don't think I appreciate his intentionality about it, but I don't know that we have to make a rule about a time frame or how that would even work.
But I agree with him. Okay, splitting up a church, we've done this over the years in our churches. When it's too big for one house, you have to do something. And it's always painful. The people resist it. They don't want to do it. But once they do it, it's good. But then I also think about when Bonnie and I, years ago, when we decided to move to Kenya, you know, for all intents and purposes, we thought we're going to spend the rest of our life on the mission field, possibly in Kenya. So it was like, it was painful to up and leave.
Yeah.
But it was such a blessing for us. And it was... It was a cool thing to do, you know, as far as, you know, we were going to go on the mission field, and it was painful, but it was great.
I was thinking about, I guess part of what I was thinking was, I remember, and I've seen some of this in our locally, but Neil Cole, I remember when he was here sharing that he'd been pretty much a part of the same house church ever since, for like the last 10 or 12 years, but that their house church had been involved with seeing over, they'd lost track, he said over like 150 of them started.
Right.
It would involve, you know,
but they always people, involve somebody going.
It involved going, and sometimes they would return, you know, like they would go help get a group started, and then, or even in the Zume training we've been doing, talks a lot about being in two churches at the same time, that you might always be a part of this one fellowship, but that you're always a part of helping another fellowship start. And that might mean you stay in that fellowship, or it might mean you return to the original fellowship. But I love that. The point of intentionally multiplying in, you know, something we've talked about extensively. I think it's great. I'll be excited to follow along and see how that works. Just a great little clip.
What I like about it, Gavin, is it's taken us more than 100 episodes to get our thoughts together and to express our thoughts. He does it in 11 minutes. He does it succinctly. Listen to him. And then come back and maybe you can listen to our podcast.
I think maybe as we found out, perhaps he would agree or find out in the future that it's oftentimes it can get a little bit more complicated than A, B, C, D. But
it's always more complicated.
But really, really a great thing. So really, really appreciate that. Hey, like to draw your all's attention as we wrap up a stuff I like here. If you get a chance, and maybe Tom, you can link this up on our podcast, but want to also get a plug in. We're going to be having a Simple Church conference this fall, October 7th and 8th here in near Lexington in Wilmore, Kentucky. We're going to have a friend join us named Lee Wood out of One Body Ministries down in Tampa, and I'm really excited. He and his wife Stacy are going to get to be up here. But I want to encourage you all to check out Lee's story. And there's a podcast called More Disciples that is produced by some folks up in Louisville, actually. And they interviewed Lee, and his story is just a neat story, amazing story. And we'll link that up, but it's More Disciples. The podcast, that's the name of the podcast, the episode that Lee is on. Episode is number 24. It's called WWDJD, and I have no idea why it's called that, actually. But that's the one where they interview Lee, and he shares a little bit of his story of how he came to Christ and how he's been a part of seeing well over 100 Simple Churches in Tampa area and elsewhere started. And it's just been a cool story. It's something that he's a very humble guy and takes zero credit for any of it, and it's just a great testimony of some of the things that we've been talking about here of just – it's all about Jesus, and when he's in the center of it and it's about him, he does amazing things, and we get to sit back and watch. So check that out, episode 24, WWDJD on More Disciples podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, those places. We'll link it all up at the bottom here.
And where do they go if they want to know about this conference in October?
And check out Simple,
it's coming up.
SimpleChurchAlliance.com, and there'll be a tab at the top, Simple Church Conference. Check it out.
We'll
and,
be there.
And we'd love for you to join us.
We'll sign autographs.
We'd love for you to join us. And we're going to have a time with Lee. It'll be very chill. You can spend the night. It's a little rustic. We'll have bunk rooms available. If you'd like to stay on site with us, we'll have some campfire worship. We'll have some sessions where we share and pray and encourage one another.
We're not going to worship campfires.
And we'll have some hiking and ignoring Tom. But we'll be. We'd love for you to join us. This would be an awesome opportunity.
I might even bring my kayaks.
Bring your kayak. So, yep. October 7th and 8th, Wilmore, Kentucky. And SimpleChurchAlliance.com. Check it out, and you can register online.
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at KeepItSimplePodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.